7:37 on the Mike McFeely Show on this Monday afternoon, KFGO. Somebody had been emailing me before we get to Clay Jenkins in here. We'll just do that in a moment. But somebody has been emailing me wondering about what the resolution was to the case up in Botno where the horse. What was the name of it again, Pinto? Bad Boy?
Bad Boy.
Bad Boy.
A Shetland pony.
Everybody thought that Bad Boy was dragged and tortured and all these things. And I was on vacation this time, I guess, so I missed it completely. But apparently there was a resolution to the case where the investigators in Botno said that it was all an accident, right? And I think you printed out the story for me, but apparently it was some kids came over a hill driving a pickup truck, hit the horse. And then the horse must have got dragged a little bit underneath the pickup truck, and it had all kinds of injuries, and some skin got taken off, and it looked like it had been dragged for a long time. But anyway, after the investigation, it sounds like everybody corroborated the story who was in the car, and it was all a bad accident.
Right. And the other part of it, too, is that I think it was kids that were in the car.
Yes.
They said, yes, we hit the horse, that we didn't admit it because we were scared, like happens yes. a lot. But they said they didn't admit to dragging the horse as much as it was said it
much
was drugged.
Okay, I got you. Okay, all right. Let's bring in Clay Jenkins. And I'm not sure how I segue from a dead horse being dragged to Clay Jenkins, but I'll do my best. Clay is the director of the Dakota Institute in North Dakota in Bismarck and a frequent regular guest on the Mike McFeely Show. Hello, Clay Jenkins, and how are you?
Hello, Mike McFeely. I can do a segue from that. When I was about in eighth grade, I was in love with a girl named Linda Coco.
Oh, yeah, I remember
her. And she left town. Her parents worked at the radar station in Dickinson, and I was helplessly in love with her, even though she was a foot and a half taller than I was. And when she left town, I bought her a ring. And my father came into my room about a week later and said, "I understand you bought a ring for this girl who left town." And I said, "Yes." And he said, "My son, I don't want to give you much advice in life, but I'll give you this piece of advice. Never buy oats for a dead horse."
That's a perfect segue. Yes.
See? I mean,
perfect.
Yeah. I guess that's why I'm on this show, really.
Right there, right?
Yeah.
The punchline. Yeah. You're Jimmy Fallon to my Jay Leno. You're running me out of here.
So. Oh, you know, I wish I could. I would love to be the McFeely.
Wow.
And have you be the Monday guest.
I think
from Devil's Lake, no doubt.
I think that you should have higher aspirations in life than that.
No, that's it. That's all I got left.
Wow, I'm sorry to hear that. That's really sad.
So how are you?
I'm just fine. And if anybody wants to call in and chat or ask Clay a question.
Linda Coco will be on the line here shortly.
She's probably listening.
The Minority Report.
Yeah, she's probably listening right
now.
She
was great, though.
Okay.
Yeah.
In what way?
Well, she was, you know, she had a reputation.
Oh.
She was eighth grade, and she had been... And I was told on good authority through about a seventh party that she had once been at a campground and had kissed this guy. And that broke my spirit, I have to tell you.
What if Linda's listening right now? Do you know what Linda's up to these days?
No, but I keep hoping that she'll find me through Facebook and say, "It was a terrible mistake. I love the ring. Your father was wrong. Let's meet in Barbados." But so far, not.
Was she any relation to famed character actor James Coco?
No. There's different spelling, and her father was a kind of a tough, macho, radar-based guy who looked on me as, you know, my father was a McGovern Democrat. Back, you know, there were no McGovern Democrats in North Dakota.
Easily to pick out, because there were like six of them in North
Dakota.
Yeah,
I'm like Ronald Reagan next to my father. My father was a true liberal. I'm just a fake.
Perfect. Well, I hope you find Linda Coco someday. Maybe we'll go into... Some
you
website
have my number,
and finder.
I'm sure.
I have several phone numbers for you.
But go ahead. What's on your mind?
Well, here's what's on my mind today. President Barack Obama. He's going to give a State of the Union address tomorrow,
yeah.
Believe it or not. His fifth one. I'm not sure that anybody is really anticipating the president's State of the Union address. Certainly, we are not anticipating it as much as we once did. I think that this nation, Clay, sadly, and I'm an Obama supporter. And I don't really care what he says tomorrow night, sadly, because I don't know that he has any power. I don't know that Obama has any sway over this nation, and he certainly doesn't have any sway over Congress. So I'm not sure that what he says tomorrow is going to make one whit of difference.
I'm with you. If we had a parliamentary system, I think he would no longer be the prime minister. I think that he's, for whatever reason, fair or unfair, that he does not enjoy widespread public support any longer, particularly in Congress, and that he he's kind of a caretaker now until the next election. And there's a certain threadbareness to his proposals. I mean, you know, he's going to have people in the gallery who had a heart ailment and were saved thanks to Obamacare, and veterans from Afghanistan. And, you know, this began with Ronald Reagan, but it's kind of a tired pageant where you point to the galleries and you say things that are deeply patriotic about this country, and then you outline a whole range of initiatives for tepid response from the Republicans, if at all, and cheering, wild response from the Democrats. And it's, you know, Jefferson wisely did not do it, Mike. When he was president, he would not take his State of the Union message to Congress personally. He sent it by messenger, and he thought, this is just stupid ceremony, and it's gotten stupider in our lifetime. And, you know, if anyone thinks that there's going to be a major statement that will really have an impact on the future of American democracy tomorrow night, they're wrong. This is just a form of American pageantry that is so lacking in real substance or legislation or real leadership. It's vetted by too many people. You know, every department is saying, oh, get us a sentence in about the National Endowment for the Arts. Get us a sentence in about Korea, and get us a sentence in about heart research, that it becomes kind of a pathetic laundry list of things that are probably not going to happen. So I hate to sound cynical, but I share your view.
Well, and it's, although he cannot run for re-election again, State of the Union addresses when the president can be re-elected again are nothing more than a nationally televised campaign speech. Right? Yeah. It's pageantry, no question. But it also becomes a campaign speech. Obama is a master campaigner, there's no question. And I'm not sure he's ever stopped campaigning, even though he will not ever run for office again. If to quote Lyndon Johnson referring to Walter Cronkite, if President Obama has lost me, he's lost the country.
I do believe that's true. You know, I was at the first inauguration, and whether you voted for him or not, or liked him or not, there was this certain sense that this man had been elected president, the first African American, that a new era in American history was beginning, and that he had raised all of our expectations. And a friend of mine from Bismarck said to me on the day afterwards, he said, he's going to break so many hearts. And he has. You know, it's I don't know whether we should be more disappointed in ourselves or more disappointed in him, but he has not had Bill Clinton's capacity or John Kennedy's capacity or Ronald Reagan's capacity to inspire the nation from within office.
Well, and I think part of the problem, maybe the main problem, and I've talked to a few people who know much more than I do, but
that's everyone, isn't it?
Well, yeah, thanks. I put that on a tee for you.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, you bet. He never, I referred to it earlier, he never got out of campaign mode. And in fact, much of the staff that he has surrounded himself with is not necessarily policy staff. It's not the experts. Here's what we're going to do. Here is our goal. Here's how we're going to get it done. Much of the people, or many of the people still surrounding him, are campaign type people. And he's never been able to take that next step from, okay, I've been elected. Here's what I want to get done. Let's get down and dirty and let's get it done. It's always been, I need to sell people on something. I need to sell America on this. I need to sell America on that. And while I give him credit, I am a supporter of healthcare reform. We'll see where Obamacare goes. I don't think it's going to be as bad as the Republicans say it's going to be. I don't. But I agree with what he stands for and what he believes in. He just doesn't know how to get from point A to point B, and that's what's so disappointing to me.
Well, from a historian's perspective, I can just quickly say to that, Mike, that senators seldom make great presidents. They have never run a government. You know, Chris Christie has run the state of New Jersey. It's bigger than many foreign nations. Theodore Roosevelt was the governor of New York. You know, former governors or people who have been in administrative positions or who have run large businesses tend to be better presidents than people who come through the Senate. Barack Obama is a very, very, very gifted man and an incredibly impressive in so many different ways. But he never had to do something like this. And once you do it, you make mistakes. Chris Christie has just made some gigantic ones. You make colossal mistakes, and you learn from it, and you become better at what you do because of that process. And if you just come through as a charismatic, as he has done, when you haven't had those responsibilities, you have to learn on the national arena And I don't think that he's done a very good job of this. I think that he doesn't. I love those photographs of Lyndon Johnson where he's leaning over someone who's virtually bending back in a yoga position to get out from under his charisma and his immediate presence, because Johnson knew it's not about inspiring. You also have to make things happen, and you have to make things happen with your enemies, and you have to make things happen with the lukewarm. And if you can't do that, you can't lead this country.
Clay Jenkinson, our guest on the Mike McFeely Show. If you have a question or a comment for either of us, he or I, please give us a call. 237-5948. Oh, on this Monday afternoon, and we just lost Clay Jenkinson, Pinto, so I don't think we're going to get him back. Something happened with the phone system. Dwight in Wahpeton, you're on the Mike McFeely Show. Thanks for calling. We lost Clay.
I was just going to point out to Clay that I think during President Obama's first term, seven or eight Republicans sponsored legislation in the House. And then Obama came out and said, yeah, he liked that. That was a good idea. And they all voted against their own bill. And the same thing is true with health care. You know, Democrats wanted single payer. But the Heritage Foundation, you know, they ran Obamacare or Romney care against Hillary care in the early 90s. And I'm sure Obama thought, well, this is going to be a nice compromise, give them their own plan. No, they wouldn't support that either.
Yeah, and you know what, Dwight? There's now I lost Dwight, so there's something going on with the phone system. But we have Clay Jenkinson back. We have some things going on with the phone here, Clay. But Dwight's point was that Obama didn't get any help from Republicans, that Republicans all the way through his terms in office here have done nothing at all and have refused to work with him at all.
That's true. I mean, I'm shocked to see the lack of basic human generosity for a man who's been elected president. You know, you and I haven't been elected to anything. I doubt that I could be elected to the school board in a tiny town in North Dakota or in Fargo. Here's someone who has been elected to the presidency of the United States against people like Hillary Clinton and Joe Biden and a range of others, and then has defeated billions of dollars of oppositional ads. Not to give him a chance to legislate on behalf of his agenda is a horrible failure. And if we continue to do this, the Democrats to the Republicans and the Republicans to the Democrats, we're just done. I mean, you have to have a chance to enact your legislative program, and if you don't, then the country just sits in paralysis. I just want to go hide under cottonwoods, frankly.
Email comes in, by the way. Last question for you. It says, "What was your girlfriend's name back in junior high school?"
Her name then was Linda Coco.
Linda
I'm sure
Coco.
She's been married.
Sure,
since then. So who knows? It could be Linda anything.
Dwayne emailed in and said, "Was she related to Emma Jean Coco?" Remember the female now, character actor, Emma Jean Coco. I think
you're just all being mean, Mike.
Well, no.
See, for me, this is serious heartbreak. And you are now just making fun.
I think Emma Jean Coco rode on the top of Chevy Chase's minivan in Family Vacation. Wasn't she the dead grandma in the Family Vacation movie? I think that's Emma Jean Coco.
I would have kissed Linda Coco, but I could only reach her shoulder.
We should have kissed her on the shoulder then. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, that would have been the end of everything.
Well, there never was anything
was
anyway,
great.
So...
But my point is, and I do have one, is that your caller was right, that the president has not been given an adequate chance to lead. On the other hand, great presidents lead no matter what.
Excellent. All right, Clay. Thank you, my friend. I need to
let you go.
I love
you, my friend.
Yep. Okay. Bye-bye.